From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A lot of you hanging on. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up is Paul. He's listening in Trenton, New Jersey. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Hank. We've been discussing this question at our Bible study for a while now, and it seems like we have conflicting answers, biblically speaking. Does an infant or an unborn child go to heaven?
Well, I certainly think so. I think that what we have in Scripture is that upon death, there is a rending of body and soul. So absent the body, you're present with the Lord, whether you're in old age or young age. If indeed you are a believer, you are in the presence of the Lord. Now, there's ample evidence to think that this is true of infants as well. For example, when David had a child and that child died, the inference from Scripture is that child would be in the very place that David would go to one day when he himself died. And so I think there is ample evidence for the notion that a child would go to heaven. But I think in these kinds of circumstances where the Bible does not shout, we can at least point to the nature of God, a God who is of infinite love and infinite justice, is not looking for obstacles to keep people out of the kingdom, but he has done everything so that we might be reconciled to him for time and for eternity.
I actually feel the same way, and it seems like a couple of people in our study say that we are born to sin. We were born as sinners. And how do we know for sure that, you know, we don't really know God? You know, again, I believe my God, the one I follow, is a loving God, and that's my true belief, and I believe that when I go to heaven, I'm going to see all these children and mentally retarded people, and because they don't have a choice. I believe if you have a choice, is the big factor.
Yeah, and I think ultimately you're right. We don't know what's going on in the heavenlies, but we can rely on the nature of God. He's revealed enough about his nature so that we can trust him. And that's the same hope that I have. We had a preborn child that died, and we have no doubt in our mind that one day she'll be rushing into our embrace in the new heaven and new earth.
Well, thank you, Hank.
You got it, Paul. Thank you for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Doug. Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Doug.
Well, hi, Hank. How are you today?
Good.
It's an absolute pleasure talking to you. This is the first time ever I've ever picked a phone up and talked about anything gospel, and I'm just so blessed that I have an opportunity to listen to your show.
Thank you.
Hank, I've been addicted to drugs. I am 45 years old, and I started at the age of 33. And I have a son that's 19 and a son that's 15. And I'm getting baptized next Monday. I'm so excited about that. I'm taking it quite serious, and I've been wondering what the Bible says about addiction. I'm going to hang up and listen to your call.
Okay, sure, Doug. God bless you. I pray that you'll grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're called not to be mere converts. We're called to be disciples, learners, or followers of Jesus Christ. And, you know, what you're being baptized into is a hospital for sick people, which is to say, the church is not comprised of those who are perfect, but those who have the perfect righteousness of Christ laid to their account while yet sinners. And so if you have addiction, likely you're going to continue to struggle with that addiction. And in the midst of those struggles, you now have a support network, as it were, the body of Christ. And this is one of the things delineated by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12. We're one body with many members, and each member depends on the other members. That's how a healthy, well-balanced church ought to function. And I hope you find that very environment as you struggle with the tangled cords of addiction. They're difficult to break. Sometimes God breaks them miraculously, but that's not the normal course of things. The normal course of things is we have to use means. And to that end, I pray that you will use those means and take advantage, as it were, of the body of Christ, which is a support network for you. Appreciate your call. I want to go back to the phone lines and talk to Ray. He's listening in Fort Worth, Texas, on the web. Hi, Ray.
Hello, Hank. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
I really appreciate your ministry. I've learned so much. The problem I have is I'm 53 years old. I've accepted my salvation about 15 years ago, well after my children became adults. And I'm feeling a lot of guilt because while I was raising them, I didn't raise them to know God. And though they're adults, they're successful, they're in the medical field, and there's never been any alcohol or drug problems with them. They just don't know God, and they don't have any real interest, it seems. And I'm feeling a lot of guilt about it.
Yes, well, you know, you can't go backwards, but you can go forward. And you can testify through your life and through your love. And if God gives you the opportunity, testify by your lips as well. You now have a testimony of many years, even though your children are grown. And I pray that that testimony will be used, but I also pray that you will pray that God will bring people and circumstances into their lives where they have, again, a spiritual hunger or a spiritual thirst. Remember that you are not the sole person involved in this process. Your children, even apart from you, have the light of creation. As they looked at the night sky when they were young, as they look at the night sky, even at their present stage in life, they must surely know that there is a God. Not only that, though, God has written a knowledge of himself upon the tablet of their heart. So they have the light of creation from without, the light of conscience from within. And if they respond to that light, they will receive further light. And Jesus really amplified this point when he was talking to Nicodemus, and he said, light came into darkness, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So ultimately, it's not the absence of knowledge, whether that knowledge came from you or not, but it is the despising of knowledge, which is to say, if you love light, and if God opens your heart to that love, you will find light. Through the light of creation, to the light of conscience, ultimately to the light of Christ. So you can pray and ultimately recognize that they do have light, whether it came from you in their upbringing or not, they still do have light. And if they respond to that light, they can find the light of Christ.
Well, I appreciate that, Hank. I feel a lot better about it. You know, I have prayed on it, and I try to be a good witness to them, and I do hope they come around, but I do thank you, and bless you and yours.
Thank you, Ray. I want to read a letter just inspired by the words of Ray. This is a letter from Samuel Wright. He writes, God bless you, Hank. I'm a longtime listener and Bible Answer Man support team supporter. I originally began listening to your broadcast nearly 20 years ago. As a new convert, I was easily caught up in the Word of Faith paradigm and unwittingly propagated aberrations characteristic of what you've so appropriately coined the kingdom of the cults. Thanks to a myriad of CRI resources, I've become saturated in God's Word and so acquainted with the essentials that today subtle aberrations can scarcely go unnoticed. No longer merely a convert, but a reproducing disciple eager and ready to give a reason for the hope that resides within me. Over the span of nearly two decades, counterfeit revival, the Apocalypse Code, the Bible Answer Books, and countless resources in between have buttressed both my discernment and my faith. Time and again, I've been literally overwhelmed with such compelling biblical attestation that I'm obliged to rethink many of my long-held preconceptions, particularly with respect to eschatology and young earth creationism. No doubt countless Christians like myself are living testaments that your ministry is bearing abundant and abiding fruit. CRI is a beacon amidst the ever-encroaching darkness, an invaluable asset to the body of Christ, for which I'm eternally grateful. As a monthly supporter, and then in parentheses he says, shareholder, I look forward to partaking in the spiritual dividends resulting from your faithful labor in the Lord. It's a beautiful letter, and I deeply appreciate it, and it is prologue for me to say that I need many of you to be like Samuel to support this ministry, because without you, we simply could not do what we do. You can give in a safe, secure fashion, again on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Men broadcast.
Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back after the break.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
.org Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up, Chad in Greensboro, North Carolina. Hi, Chad.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for the call. I listen to you quite often. I really enjoy the show.
Thank you.
My question is, I've caught my wife in an affair. We're both trying to save the marriage. She had previously stopped going to church and lost her faith. We're both in the trying to rebuild that now. And I was wondering what the scripture says about someone in my position is trying to, stay and be loyal, even though I have not had her be loyal to me. And what does the scripture say as far as getting strength in that type of scenario? What scripture would be helpful in that scenario?
Yeah, well, first of all, I commend you. I think this is the ideal biblically to seek towards reconciliation. So if there's someone wanting to be forgiven, there also has to be someone willing to forgive. And you sound as though that is your predisposition. You want to work out the relationship. And I think that's the very best course of action that you can possibly take. You know, sometimes trust is very hard to rebuild, but it is a worthwhile rebuilding process. So often we look at the easy way out, and you sound like you are someone who is looking to find God's best. And I think that that is what you are properly pursuing in this circumstance. And I think ultimately what we need to recognize in terms of a biblical paradigm here is that we have been forgiven a debt that is incomprehensible. And if that is true, we need to be willing to forgive others their sins. And Jesus tells a parable about that very thing. It was the story of two debtors. The first owed his master about $20 million, more than he could pay if he lived to be 1,000 years old. The second debtor owed the first debtor less than a $20 bill. And when the day of reckoning came, the master forgave the multi-million-dollar debtor every last penny. But as the story goes, instead of being overwhelmed with gratitude, the man who was forgiven much ended up tracking down the man who owed very little, grabbing him by the throat, and dragging him away to debtor's prison. Of course, when the master heard all about what had happened, his condemnation was swift, it was severe. The ungrateful servant said Jesus was thrown into jail to be tortured until he could repay his debt in full. Now, when Jesus finished telling that story, he turned to his disciples and he said, "This is how my heavenly Father is going to treat each one of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." By the way, this story is told in Matthew chapter 18. And the disciples immediately got the point. The debts we owe one another are like mere $20 bills compared to the infinite debt we owe our Heavenly Father. And because we have been forgiven an infinite debt, it is a horrendous evil to even consider withholding forgiveness from those who genuinely seek it. If for even a moment we might wonder whether or not to forgive our debtors, that parable, I think, should immediately soften our hearts and illumine the darkness of our minds. I think this is one of the most powerful stories to illustrate the wisdom in terms of the path that you've chosen.
Okay, yeah, and that's great. I just, was wondering on the scripture. I'm going to sit down and read that when I get a chance. I know that, like I said, she's recognized, she's repented, she's overwhelmed with grief, as you can imagine, but she's joyful too for the reason that I'm trying to stay with her in this marriage, and I have forgiven her, and with the future, trust is going to be hard, but at the same time, with faith in Christ and getting her back into her faith is the key, and I really appreciate everything you've given me, and I will definitely read that as soon as possible.
You know, one of the psalms that comes to mind that may be helpful for your wife is Psalm 51. That may be something that she'd want to meditate on as well.
Okay. Well, I will definitely let her know. I appreciate that.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call, Chad. God bless you. May God richly bless your marriage and use you as an example of his grace.
Thank you very much.
You got it, my friend. I want to go back to the phone lines now and talk to Dave. He's listening in Santa Rosa, California. Hi, Dave.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Yes, I've been dealing with a church that I was going to for quite a while that believes in baptism in Jesus, in the name of Jesus alone, not in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And they take this to the point where if any kind of baptism that you've had in the name of the Trinity is null and void, and that they rebaptize people. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, well, I think it's a horrendous error, and it's a horrendous error that's compounded because error leads to error, which is to say that their notion that God the Father is himself the Son and the Holy Spirit is a modalistic idea, that God reveals himself in different modes or manifestations, as opposed to what the Bible actually says. The Bible says that there's only one God. The Bible says the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and the Bible further teaches us that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct. So we can either be biblically driven or philosophically driven. If we're philosophically driven, then we remake God in a configuration that we can fully comprehend. If we're biblically driven, we simply bow our knee before God's revelation of himself to us, one what, three who's. It's not a contradiction. It may be beyond our ken or our ability to fully comprehend, but this is what we apprehend from Scripture. This is what God has revealed to us about his nature. And I think that this should come as a pleasant surprise to us, because we're finite and God is infinite. How can the finite fully comprehend the infinite? We couldn't, and we will spend eternity seeking to comprehend the goodness and the grace and the nature of the one who saved us. So I think that the oneness Pentecostalism is not only driven by a misconception of the nature of God, and virtually every theological heresy begins there, but also with all kinds of prescribed legalistic tendencies, such as, you know, having to speak in tongues, no salvation. And you can imagine the psychological angst that has been brewing in people trying to conjure up this gift. So they have all kinds of legalistic prescriptions and then a misconception of the nature of God. So I would steer clear of this kind of a fellowship.
Certainly. And they come very close to saying that you don't have salvation without speaking in tongues also.
Oh, yes, yes, that's the point. Yes, absolutely.
Is there another source of information I can get that would fully explain this?
Yeah, I actually wrote about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. We can send you a copy of the pages of that book.
I would very much appreciate that.
Yeah, just hang on.
Okay, I will. Thank you so much.
You got it, Dave. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Stephanie, Lebanon, Missouri. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Hank. I really appreciate your program.
Thank you.
I have a weird question, so I'm going to talk about it as quickly as possible.
Okay.
I attended a Christian college, but it was becoming slightly liberal. So there are a lot of students and some faculty that believed that homosexuality was okay and that it was antiquated to think otherwise. However, there was a former alumni who was transsexual, and the same people were completely against that. They were ridiculing that. And they were not being very Christian about it. And I am very, very skeptical of the transsexual movement and their claims that they're totally different and that they're biologically different. But I believe that homosexuality is wrong, and it's very explicit in the Bible. But I can't find a lot in the Bible about transsexuality. So I wanted to have your take on it, and also why you think that Christians are liberalizing on homosexuality, which is an act, and it's clear in the Bible, but a lot of them are still very mean about transsexuality.
That's interesting. I didn't realize that that was a propensity among Christians, but I mean, the real issue here is that God defines the borders of human sexuality, not because he's a cosmic killjoy or mean-spirited, but rather because he wants our joy to be complete. And furthermore, he doesn't contradict our biology with our psychology. In other words, he doesn't give us those two in conflict. Now, obviously, we live in a fallen world, and as a result of that, there are all kinds of potential maladies that take place. People have all kinds of different propensities. That's part of a fallen world, but we should not give in to them, because when we do so, we only do so to our own damage and hurt. There's an article that I'm thinking about in the Christian Research Journal by Joe Dallas that might be very helpful to you. It's called The Transsexual Dilemma. If you hang on, let me send that to you, because I think it will really help contextualize the small amount that I'd be able to communicate to you in these few moments. But also, you can find that very article on the web at equip.org. So either you can get the journal or you can just go to the web at equip.org. Again, the article, The Transsexual Dilemma. Look forward to seeing you right back here tomorrow with more.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.